We're going to start off with a familiar one. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 17. We're starting off here because there's been just a touch of, not even complaining at all, but a touch of people asking me to explain something that I've taught, and I'm going to sort of make this a little apologetic sermon tonight. Hold on, I'm not going to apologize, but I promise you, if I ever do anything wrong, I will. But I want to sort of explain to you tonight a little bit about a thing we've been teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. These are familiar words, but we'll launch into new passages later on. Let the elders that rule well, by the way, that's me. Somebody said, well, what does the word elder mean? Some people think it means the pastors. Some folks think it means older men. Well, I got you either way. You can't get around that one. Let the elders that, shut up, Ray. The elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. In the Greek, that means double pay. And especially they who labor, there I go now, in the word and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, shut up, that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, keep not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And now, Father, tonight we come to study again thy word. I marvel at the continuity of this book. And I believe tonight that if people will listen carefully, they'll also marvel at the continuity of the book. I pray you help us to be attentive and to learn what we ought to learn so we can be what we ought to be, so we can do what we ought to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we come to thy book. Give thy servant an alert quickness of mind, and give to thy people willingness to learn as we think of this truth tonight. Amen. Turn to 1 Timothy again, chapter 5. I'm going to start off there, and we'll go to several other passages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 17 again. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Look down to verse number 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. I've heard it said by preachers for years that two witnesses made anything hold up in the Jewish court. Now, that is not true. Two witnesses made a case worthy of investigation, but did not mean a person was guilty. Any time that two people said a person was guilty, it simply meant that from there on they would investigate to see if that were true, if they were guilty of a fact. But it does not mean that because two people said someone is guilty, that they're guilty. I'm going to prove it to you tonight in several passages of Scripture. Now let's turn, please, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You find the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, page 1239 in your Scofield Bible. I want you to read that first verse without me. Read it with me, please, in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse number 1. Ready? This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now that word established, I placed that word very carefully. That word established means strengthened. Strengthened. It does not mean in the mouth of two or three witnesses is something true. It means that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the accusation is strengthened. If somebody says something about someone, accusing them, that's weak. But if two people say, I saw that happen, then that strengthens the accusation, and an investigation ensues or follows. Let me say again, I get criticized for this, but I'll die on it, I'll live and I'll die on it. I do not believe that anybody ought to be considered guilty until it is proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has done what he said, what was accused of. I had rather let 10 guilty people go free than wrongly punish one innocent person. Now, you call me what you want to call me, and you can say what you want to say, but I will never, as long as God gives me breath, I will never declare a person guilty unless there is positive proof that that person is guilty. He says, how can you know? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in just knowing before I think he's guilty. I'm not going to live any other way, and if you want to fire me, that's up to you, but I'm not going to recklessly declare somebody guilty because it appears that way. I'm not going to do it. Now, I agree that it's wrong to have the appearance of evil. But if a person has the appearance of evil, then that is the wrong. Having the appearance of evil is the wrong. But it's not proof of the evil being done. So let's get the right wrong that's being done. If it appears evil, then the Bible says we should shun the appearance of evil. So the guilt, the sin that's been committed is appearing to be evil. But it does not mean that a person has done the evil because they appear to be evil. So, what it's saying here, look at verse 1 again. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be strengthened. That means if two people say they saw it and two people say witness to it, that means that it's strong enough now that we should take into consideration the possibility of it being true. I think that's about the best way I could put it. Two witnesses do not mean something is true. They mean there is a possibility it's true. And now we look into it to see if, in fact, it is true. You'll find that started back in Deuteronomy chapter number 19. Turn to that, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. We've been here before, but I want us to go again. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. And this is it. This says it so plainly. Verse 15. Deuteronomy 19:15. Read verse 15, just verse 15 aloud, please. Ready? One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now that's that same word established we had a while ago. It means shall the case be strengthened. Now look at me now. It very plainly says here, that nobody is supposed to be accused or convicted of guilt if one person says he saw him. And let me go a step further. If one person says he saw him do it, we're not supposed to even investigate. But it says, yeah, I'm reading it for you. One witness shall not rise up against any man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. You listen to me. Anybody, any one person could say anything they want to about anybody. And, my soul, I am amazed at how people believe stuff because one person says it. Well, I saw it with my own eyes. I still don't believe it. Because the Bible says I'm not supposed to believe it. Well, won't you look into it? The Bible says I'm not supposed to look into it unless I've got two people that saw it with their own eyes. And then that doesn't mean they're guilty. It means that it strengthens the case enough for an investigation. Now, if you want some proof, okay, I'm going to give you some proof. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Don't leave it now. I want you to see something that I'm going to prove it on you. I love that story Dr. Rice tells about the politician said to his campaign manager, my opponent called me a liar. He said, he did. Yeah, he said, did more than that. He proved it on me. Now, I'm going to prove it on you tonight. I'm going to prove it on you tonight, so I want you to follow me. You folks that don't want to be reasonable, I'd suggest you close your Bibles and take a nap. I'll call your name out loud, but I'd suggest you just don't use your Bible because I'm going to prove it to you with the Bible tonight. If you don't want to know what the Bible says, then you won't want to get this. Look at Acts chapter 6, please, and verse number 8. And Stephen, that's one of the deacons, full of faith, strange deacon, and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them the Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. I want to say a word right here. Look at me. I told you Sunday night about the wicked and cruel and satanic attack that's being made on Brother Mike Haynes, down in Charleston, South Carolina. He has, listen to me now, he has two men on his assistant pastors One of them, I'll just go ahead and tell you, one of them ran off with a 15-year-old pianist at the church, and the second one turned on the pastor and wrote a long letter and sent it to every family in the church, accusing Mike Haynes of a bunch of sorry things. Now, I'm not surprised. Look at me, everybody. I'm not surprised, because the devil is not going to ignore a ministry like that. May I tell you what I did? Before I announced to you we're going to have our big day on the Pentecost Sunday, I trembled. I fully trembled. I'll be quite frank with you. In some way, I did not want to have Pentecost Sunday, because I knew that if we had 3,000 people walk the aisle for salvation on one Sunday here at First Baptist Church, I knew all hell was going to break loose. Because the devil's not going to overlook that. You read the story of Pentecost in the Bible, and as soon as they had Pentecost, persecution began. And then after a while, they had 5,000 people saved, and boy, did all hell break loose then, and they had people saved. The devil will not ignore a church that means business and they're trying to get folks saved. See, Jesus came and lived and died and rose again to get people saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, the Bible says. So anytime a person or a preacher or a church gives himself to what Jesus died to do, then persecution is going to come immediately. So when this deacon here, in verse 8, Stephen, chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, then, that word then is the key word, not later on, then, when miracles take place, then you got trouble. And so then there arose, now look at verse number 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men. Now that word, S-U-B-O-R-N-E-D, let me give you the meaning of that word. It means to secure a person to take a false oath. That's what it means. I checked it. That's what it means. It means to secure a person to take a false oath. Let's put that in there, please. Don't leave me now. In verse number 11. Then they secured men to take a false oath, which said, get this now, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Now look at me. Did Stephen speak those blasphemous words against God? Yes or no? No. Did he speak those blasphemous words against Moses? Yes or no? No. But these two witnesses said he did. Look at verse number 11 again. Then they stubborned men. May I tell you that men is the plural of man? The smallest number of men you can have is two. So here are at least two witnesses, and they said they secured two men to take a false oath, saying, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Right, look at me. Does that mean then that you folks that don't believe what I've been teaching about two witnesses not being proof of guilt, does that mean that you think it was okay for them to murder Stephen? Well, now, wait a minute. They got two witnesses here. Sit still. They're two witnesses. Yeah. And they even took an oath. Yeah. This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law, it says, verse 13, for we have heard him say. Well, I'll declare. Here are two men that said they heard him say it, but they're liars. Now, you're going to sit there and with your stubbornness and reject this? Or are you going to wake up and realize what God is teaching in the Bible? God's got more sense than, say, any two people that say they saw something that makes it true. Now, why don't you get us more sense? All right? And look at verse number 14 again. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. Yes, they didn't like that, but they said it. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. You know why Stephen was stoned wrongly and murdered? You know why? Because he had a people there that like some of you that took the word of two people and said, so we heard it. Yeah, prove it on you. There it is. All right, let me show you another passage, please. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. you folks that already made up your mind what you believe about this, I would suggest you know your Bibles. Look at the songbook there. You might find it there. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57. This is talking about Jesus now. Hey, look at me. You know why they chose these witnesses? Because they had people there that would hang a fellow for two witnesses. They knew the law, you see, and they were changing the law from having, say, two witnesses establishes something or strengthens a case from two witnesses convicts a person. All right, now, look at verse 57 of Matthew 26. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest... Called him afar off. That's really a buddy, a good friend, isn't it? I mean, here's Jesus being crucified, and Peter said, I just can't keep up. I'm tired. And my arthritis is bothering me. And look at verse number 58, and Peter, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses. Witnesses is the plural of witness. And the smallest number of witnesses you can have is two. So they had at least two witnesses, look at verse 61, see what these witnesses said. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Now, Jesus was talking about his body. It's plain in the Bible, he makes that statement. But they said, this man said he was going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem and get it rebuilt in 3 days. Now look at me. Hey, these were two witnesses. I guess then it's okay for Jesus. I guess they're okay. Certainly they were justified then. Hey, Jesus was an imposter, wasn't he? Huh? You're going to have to believe what I'm teaching, or you're going to have to accept the fact that Jesus Christ was an imposter because two witnesses said it. So Jesus wasn't wrong to try it. He was right to try it, wasn't he? Just still. Yeah. You folks did not don't believe what I've been teaching. I'm going to screw this thing down to where it will never unscrew. I'm going to screw it on you nuts. And I'm saying that make up your mind, either these men wrongly accused Jesus or he was guilty because two men said they heard it. You got two witnesses here. Okay, then was Jesus rightly tried? No, he was not rightly tried, even though there were two witnesses. Why? The Bible is not telling us that because two witnesses said it makes it true. The Bible is saying because two witnesses say it, it's time to look into it then. All right, let's go another scripture. Turn, please, if you would, over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21. One of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament. It's funny to read it, and I want to read it with you, most of it, so look at it carefully. This is about Naboth's vineyard. He's a cousin to Jim Vineyard. Verse 1 there. 1 Kings 21, 1, page 417. And it came to pass that after these things, that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard or right for the palace of the king of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab was the king. Hey, guess who his wife was? That wonderful, wonderful, born-again lady named Jezebel. And so she was his wife, and Ahab. So look what it. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, and saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Or look at me. Ahab, the henpecked king, not a bad guy, just henpecked, that's all, just a sissy. And Naboth said, you've got a vineyard right there beside mine. And I'd like to have that vineyard, please, as mine. And I'll give you one better than that, or I'll pay you the going rate for it. And look at verse number 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He said, this is a sacred place. This is the inheritance of my fathers. And I am not going to betray my fathers and sell you my vineyard. Verse 4. And I love this. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased. He's pouting. Because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite spoke unto him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. And look at that. And he laid him down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread.
Here comes this king. He says, I didn't get that vineyard. I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to turn my face toward the wall, and I'm not going to eat anything. And there he is, pouting. But, that's the next word, Jezebel. Verse 5. His wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? She said, what's wrong with you, sweetie Faith? And he said to her, because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, get this now, said unto him, see, she was the best man of the bunch. Said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? What a governor he was, laying there in bed with his face against the wall, pouting and refusing to eat. And she said, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. See, people that will lie about something and spread stuff, they have no conscience whatsoever. They'll seal it with the governor's seal. No conscience whatsoever. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. On trial, that's what it's saying. On trial. And set two men, sons of Belial. The word Belial sometimes means the devil. It always means destruction. Sons of destruction or sons of the devil. Set two men before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Look at me. Did Naboth blaspheme God? Did Naboth blaspheme the king? All he said was, I cannot sell you this vineyard because my father's owned it, and it's a sacred thing to our family, and I cannot sell it. Now, here's the thing about it. Ahab had the whole kingdom. One little old vineyard. I want that one. Teaches what I taught Sunday morning. But you get something, you want something else you don't have. And Jezebel said, we'll get two witnesses. Well, I'll declare. And by the way, they stoned Naboth. Look at verse number 13. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth. Hey, the guy must be guilty. Right? Hey, you people that think two witnesses make something true. The guy must be guilty, right? Wrong? Wrong. Naboth didn't do anything wrong at all. But Jezebel got these two witnesses, and they said he blasphemed God, and he blasphemed the king. If I'd been him, I wouldn't have blasphemed God, but I did sure to throw a few choice words at the king. In fact, I might have even dedicated a few words to the little vineyard used to say, not this vineyard, but he used to say, I don't cuss, but he said, I've got that enough where if you'd type it out, I'd sign it. And verse 13, there came in two men, children of Belial, sat before him, and then Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, and the presence of the people say, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died, and they're murderers, and Jezebel was a murderer, and the judge was a murderer, and the jury were murderers, and every single person in this room tonight who believes something on somebody is true because two people said it was true are guilty of lying and being a party of the crime. Well, you know the house. You gonna let criminals go loose? I'm gonna let people who have not been convicted go loose? Yes. Yes, I am. Now here are three cases. Stephen wrongly stoned because two witnesses were brought to lie and say they heard it. Jesus wrongly tried because two witnesses or more came and lied together. Naboth wrongly tried because two witnesses or more came and lied. But down to verse number 15. It came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. Now, I'll show it this way. Some of you young people, and I'm not talking tonight now about people 17, 18. I'm talking about some of you folks under 40. It might be wise for you to realize that there are a few of us that know more Bible than you do. The kind of people that jump at this are young scholars. I don't mean scholars. I don't mean intellectuals. I mean young people that maybe they teach the Bible. They jump at something like this. But they like it in the first place. They like the idea of calling folks names who sinned. That's exciting. They like the idea of saying, "Boy, here, to it, here, you said that." And what they just the guy that's got a machine gun goes to a shopping center and just starts shooting. Won't you get some sense? Won't you get some judgment? Won't you listen to people that have been studying the Bible a long time before you were born? Before you know it, and that's what does it. I've said before, we have no problems with the Mr. Sprungers. We have no problems with Dr. Evanses. We have no problems with the Rents. No problems there. You know who knows the most about a truth? The fellow learned it yesterday. Dr. Rice used to say the trouble with some of these young theologians is they know so much stuff ain't true. Now you listen to me. You do what you want to do. You say what you want to say. But I am not going to condemn anybody on circumstantial evidence of any crime in the world or call them guilty. I'm not going to do it. I'm 63 years old. I'll be 64 September 25th. You might want to write that down. I'll be 64 in a couple of months. And I am not going to change the teachings of a lifetime now or ever. Too old to change. Too old. I don't intend to change. That's a very strange thing. That all these years, I've been teaching it till I got a bunch of smart people around me, and now then, it's wrong. You check my record for 43 years of preaching. I've never condemned anybody as guilty unless he was proved guilty. Never have. And never will. You can rise up and stone me if you want to, but I never will. I am not going to declare people guilty unless they're proved guilty. Well, it just looks like to me. Well, quit looking. You got enough to do, or you haven't got to be the FBI and the investigator. Quit looking. Take the time you've been looking and look for sinners and look for truth in the Bible and get you a bus route or go soul winning or do something good for God, build you a Sunday school class or do something big for God. And just quit being an expert. You know what we need? We need a bunch of humble people around here. So, here it is. And look down to verse, show you what happened. Verse number 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where whither he has gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine." I don't have time to go into it, but the honest, simple truth is that's exactly what happened. God said, the same end that you caused Naboth to have, I am going to cause you to have. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we read three times. Now, follow me carefully. We read three times. Deuteronomy 19, 15 and following, that out of the mouth of two witnesses or three or more, that's something to be established or strengthened or be considered for investigation. We learned again in 2 Corinthians 13, 1, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19, three times. Now we also have told you three stories where there were two witnesses and they wrongly condemned somebody just like some of you folks are doing. And the truth is, some of you folks are condemning somebody, and you don't even have two witnesses. And some of you don't have one witness. You just got a few did-you-hears. That's all you got. You're crooked. I said you're crooked. I said you're crooked. He's not like it. I said again, I say you're crooked. You won't like it again. I like what that Chinaman did. There's a tiger got after him in the woods, and he ran, and the tiger stayed right behind him and hit in his tracks. And the Chinaman stopped him and said, "You like him in tracks? We make us some more." He took off again. You don't like me. You don't like me calling you a crook, and he call you a crook again. You're a crook. You sorry rascal, you. Take somebody's reputation in your hand because of what you heard. And take somebody's reputation in your hand when the Bible said that one witness ought not to make it true. Two witnesses doesn't make it true. Two witnesses or more makes a right to investigate it. But you're not supposed to condemn somebody or call somebody guilty until beyond the shadow of a doubt it's been proved. Bible. Two witnesses against Stephen. Two witnesses against Jesus. Two witnesses against Naboth. And all three were crooked witnesses. And all three were wrong trials where the innocent was declared guilty because some of the First Baptist Church people lived back in those days. You lack enough tracts, I'll make you some more. I don't know anything sorry in that. I don't know anything any sorrier than for somebody to ruin someone's reputation on hearsay. All right? Now then, let's look at something else. Look at chapter 19 of Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Verse 18. Page 238. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, was that true in the case of Jesus? Was that true in the case of Stephen? Was that true in the case of Naboth? All right, what's supposed to happen there? The judges shall make diligent inquisition. Behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shall God put the evil away from among you. What's it saying? It's saying, whatever the punishment is for what a false accuser accuses somebody of doing, he, the false accuser, is supposed to bear that same punishment. Let me show you a couple of cases. Turn, please, to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. All right, look at me. When you get there, page 909 is the page I want you to notice. All right, look at me. Anybody remember the story of Daniel and the lions then? What did they do? What word do I want? I want a word. Yeah, I can't think of it. That's not the word I want. The frame is okay, but I wanted a bigger word, but nobody here is smart enough to know it. But they falsely accused Daniel. And Daniel was put in the lion's den. But of course, he was not injured. Now look what happened to those people. Look at verse 24 of Daniel 9. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. I'd like to have been there. I got a few people I'd like to catch, but anyway. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces. Or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, what was this king doing? He was obeying the law of Deuteronomy chapter 19. We did a while ago. If a false accuser, if the accuser is found false, he himself is supposed to bear the punishment of the person whom he accused. So, these fellows falsely accused Daniel, and because they falsely accused Daniel, they themselves were killed by the lions. All right, turn one more passage. Start to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. You remember the story of Haman who falsely accused Mordecai? And the word I was looking for a while ago was conspired. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to sing a love song as we go along walking in the... Anyway. So Haman had conspired against Mordecai,
and falsely accused him to the king. And the king, believing Haman, decided to build some gallows, and on those gallows hang and kill Mordecai. But I haven't got time to go into the story, but because he was reading the book one night, thought him carefully. One night he was reading the book, the history book. And because he read the history book, he came over a place where somebody had saved his life and found out it was the guy he was about to hang. Mordecai's life was spared because the king was reading the book. If the king had been watching Johnny Carson, Mordecai would have died. The moral of that story is quit watching the television and read more books. I preached a sermon years ago at the National Christian Booksellers Convention in St. Louis, and this is my sermon, A Book That Saved the Nation. A Book That Saved the Nation. And I said, of course, this is the book that will save our nation. That's what I was likening it to. But so, look at verse number 25. When Esther came, Esther 9. When Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head. And that he, Haman, and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. I'd love to have been there. What was it? The law of God being carried out. Haman falsely accused Mordecai because he did when he was found as a false accuser. Then Mordecai did not die on the gallows, but Haman died on the gallows built for Mordecai. Now, set it straight. My Bible told us I'm going to talk to you about 3 minutes, and then we're going to have a business meeting and go home. You're not going to go home before the business meeting, because we're going to start the business meeting before 10 minutes till, and we usually start the business meeting about 3 minutes after, and you're not going to leave during the business meeting. You're going to leave right now, aren't you? I told you you weren't going to leave during the business meeting. I'll see to it. There they go. Isn't that amazing? I don't care if it's 8, if it's 9:15 or 8:45. If I walked out and I said, we're not going to have a Bible study tonight, we're going to have a business meeting, be out by 7:50, some folks would leave before the business meeting. Now listen to me. Why don't you give people a chance? Why is it that human nature delights in believing something bad? Why don't you decide to be a Christian? Why don't you decide, hey, my Bible said, love suffereth long and is kind. Love behaveth itself not unseemly. My Bible says, love believeth, trusteth. My Bible said we're supposed to only believe good reports and not bad reports. Why don't you, and I'm not talking about myself. Good night, if everybody in this room tonight decided to treat me to never believe anything bad on me, that's not going to, it helped me some, but not a great deal. I got thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions and multiplied billions upon trillions and zillions of people out there. It'd be a drop in the bucket. But look, why don't you give your neighbor the benefit of the doubt? Better not. See there, you want a bad report. Perfect example. You'd be amazed how much better you could feel when you follow the Bible. And you'd also be amazed how much better you'd feel if you'd sit through a business meeting sometime. It's more fun than what Dr. Evans says sometimes. Since the pig ate his uncle. That's what he says. I've had so much fun since the pigs ate my uncle. You're laughing, but if you'd known his uncle, you'd agreed with him 100%. Now it's 10 minutes till 9. We're going to be out of here by 9 o'clock. And see these black things up here? They're men sitting up there behind those black things with machine guns. And they're going to gun you down if you walk out. If they don't, I will.
soul. Where is my man? There he comes.